Welcome to the Anything Goes podcast. My name is Anna Richards, and this is my sacred space to have honest, real, empowering, fun, and big conversations. My mission is to not just motivate and inspire with each episode, but to push boundaries and teach you how to live your own life sovereignly, boldly, and unapologetically. I aim to bring you humor, depth, differing of opinions, and more. But one thing I can promise you is this is the podcast where anything goes. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Anything Goes with Anna Rose. It is Anna Rose here. I am so excited to be having this conversation with you today. It's so funny to me, or interesting, I should say. What comes up for me, being a liver of life, a non-strategist, a non-planner, a woman that does not have a team of people yet. Actually, I'll get to that. That's all changed in the last week. But a woman that just flies by the seat of her pants, basically, in business and life. And it's always just so funny to me when I sit down to record a podcast, because it's the gift, though, I believe. I think it's a strength that I just roll with life, because my plan was to sit today and record an episode all around the NFT, which is so exciting and consuming my life at the moment, of course, as it should. Launching that as a new company and just the vision of that and hiring the whole team, which is super exciting. And then as I potted around today doing business, on calls, doing other interviews, on other podcasts, writing copy, just all of the things, literally moments before I hit record on this, I thought, do you know what? I'm really called instead to not start at the end, actually, because I genuinely believe and know in every cell of my being that this company that I launch, this NFT, is part legacy in a big, big way. And so in a big, big way, I kind of feel like, you know, from this platform that I'm going to launch off and the vision that I have and the work I'm going to put in and just the way that I want this to benefit my community, aka you, it's so big. That I don't believe I'll ever be the same in every way, spiritually, mentally, financially, just in all ways. And so for me, it's not the end. It's the beginning, to be honest. But I know for many, they'll start to look at life and me, and as I start to educate more on this and this launches, it will be big, very big. And what I wanted to do today was actually start from the beginning and I suppose explain why I believe in this space so much and how as a young girl, literally as a young girl up until this point, I have always seen a gift, a knack has always been to see trends in business. It's just in my blood. Some people have it, some people don't. I've got balls, that's for sure as well. But I wanted to take you back. And today's episode is actually going to be my business journey starting at 18 years of age up until this point, which is 34. So I don't know how long this is going to go. It is not specifically about the NFT that's going to come, but I really wanted to do this first because this is the gateway into why I'm even pursuing this, why I see vision in this, and my backstory and what I've achieved in business and the trends that I saw from a very young age, from my very first business, matter. I truly believe that. So let's begin. I hope wherever in the world you're listening to this, you have a nice hot or cold beverage and just a smile on your face. So let me take you back, loves. Let me take you back. The year is 2006. I am 18 years of age. I have just launched my career, ladies and gentlemen, my career, essentially. I get hired as a junior admin in a phenomenal accounting firm. They are my accountants today. What are they called? I don't even know. Acute Financial Services. Shout out to them. I've actually done an episode with my accountant on this podcast, Spencer Broad. So go back and listen to that if you like. But I start my career 18 years of age begin in an accounting firm. And even before that, when I was growing up, actually, let me take you back further. Fuck, here we go. And I cannot explain where it came from. And this is why I just genuinely believe you've got it or you don't in business. It can absolutely be a learned skill. But for some people, like, business just is my life. It is something that that's just innately been in me always. So I can't even remember when I started to say this, but Mum will remember. But back very young, people used to ask me, of course, oh, little girl, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I, you know, little, like 2, 3, 4, 6, I used to say a ballerina or a cop. They were kind of the two things I always wanted to be, a ballerina or a cop. And then I turned around 7 and 8 is my earliest memory, and I started to say, I'm going to own a hotel. What do you want to be when you grow up, little girl? Oh, I'm going to own a hotel. And that was consistent. I said that and I believed it, and I still do. But it doesn't excite me, so I won't, because that does not excite me at all, staff. At that level. But I used to say, I want to own a hotel. And I remember always, you know, generally being asked that question when I was next to my beautiful mum. And I remember I used to get laughed at a lot, like, oh, what an odd answer from a little girl. And I just remember my mum, kind of relevant to the story, but completely relevant, always used to sort of hands on her hip. She's like 5 foot, almost nothing, I'm sure. 5'4" maybe. Hands on her hip would say, you know, you just watch, she's going to do it. She's going to own that hotel. And so I was always like, yeah, I am. I'm going to own a hotel. So, but it came from nowhere. We came from extreme, I wouldn't say poverty, but just we were very poor. If you've listened to any of kind of my stories in any of the episodes before, you will know some of my story, but you know, there was no example in my life. We grew up in government housing. You know, I didn't have any, what's a mentor? I didn't understand any of that. But just, yeah, I was always, grew up in the ghetto, drug dealers on one side, drug addicts on the other, saying, I'm going to own a hotel. So that's where the DNA of entrepreneurship was born in my life. So fast forward to 2006, to go back, to leap forward again, I begin my career at Acute in an accounting firm. Absolutely frothed it, loved it, adored answering the phones, speaking to businessmen all day, building relationships, fetching the boss's coffees, and, you know, setting up the meeting room, which was always so exciting for me because I loved going in, you know, and clearing the whiteboard, or, you know, I'd drop the coffees in. Oh, I loved it. I loved eavesdropping on the big boy conversations, you know, hearing company numbers and hearing company strategies. And I loved all that so, so much, and doing the mail basically. And sticking tax returns. And every single day, and I used to love it, I would get all the tax returns, I'd have to print them out, and we had a lot of, you know, big company clients, we had some employees, we had a range of people, small business, solopreneurs, and every single tax return, no matter which one I got put in front of me, printed out, I would go straight to the back every time, and I'd look at their total income, total loss, or, you know, profit and loss, if it was a company, and then net revenue, always. And I taught myself, because I was like, give me the money. Like, I want to see these guys' numbers. I want to know what they're earning. And then I want to reverse engineer it and know how they do it. And so then I sort of started to teach myself how to read profit and loss off of sticking tax returns in this accounting firm. And I remember one day I went to my boss, and I think there was a tax return I'd stuck, and it was like $3 million profit. And I went into my boss and I was like, Peter, how do these guys make all this money? Like, how do they do it? Like, I don't understand how they pay people $20,000, but they earn $3 million. Like, how do they do it? And he was a brilliant man and a kind boss and a you know, just a legend of a guy. And he said, ask them. ask them. And I was like, am I allowed? You know, will they mind? And he was like, ask them. You'll never know if you don't ask. Why don't you ask them? Some, you know, some might tell you to fuck off. That's on them. This is, he's telling his junior admin to do this. But he said, but, you know, most will, I'm sure, help. And I started to ask. I started to say, you know, hope you don't mind, because Peter would always take a couple of minutes to come out before meetings. And I'd say, hope you don't mind, you know, but I really admire your company. I obviously never said, I'm sure they assumed that I knew their numbers, but, you know, I'm fascinated in knowing how you got started and what made you pick this business and all kinds of questions. You know, what is it that, you know, you think makes you a success? And I had access to some of the most wealthiest men in, and I say men because they were men, okay? And this was where my passion as a woman in business was born. Because I used to get pissed off that all the people at the table were men. All the big boys were at the table. And I was like, fuck, I want to be at that table. And so day by day by day, week by week by week, month by month, I had access to all the brightest minds and all the most wealthiest minds in Perth. And I would ask them questions and I would ask them. And this is where mentorship was born for me. And I'm still in contact today, actually, with a mentor, I call him, who I met in that accounting firm, Dave. And he still advises me today. What's it been? 14 years he's been in my life advising me. But he's so beautiful. Actually, I caught up with him the other day and he said to me, you know, you're my advisor now. He was like, you for a long time. He was like, no, this is kind of the mentee has become the mentor. So just with this whole new space. But so I learned about mentorship. I asked questions. And what I got from it was that mostly the derivative between them all was that find something that people need. And this was not, I didn't read books, I wasn't Googling, this was conversation. And pretty soon the thread that I wove amongst them all was do something that you love, for goodness sake, Anna. You know, you gotta love it. All of them said that. Because if you don't love it, fuck that. You know, we work hard, we work long hours, sometimes we're away from our family, you know, like we've gotta love what we do. So find what you love. Find what you're good at. Find something that you're already good at. And because it will help and it will add fuel to the fire of being something that you love, and find something that the market needs and you will find the business that you need to start. And I did. I started to think about it on my drive home from work, on my drive to work. And I was 18 years of age and I was single at the time. Morgs was actually, my ex-husband was around, but I was single. And even then, so I was 18 years of age. This is, oh my God, I feel so old when I do this. I don't even know. 34 take 18 is 16. 16 years ago, this was. Back. And I knew straight away. I was like, okay, what we need, what my generation needs, what I need, what I love dating. I was pissed off, I felt, at my generation for not dating. Like no one, even then it was very like not Netflix and chill. We didn't have that, but like Blockbuster and chill. People just didn't really know how to date etiquette. They didn't really, you know, other than clubbing at the time, there was nothing, nowhere for young people to meet people online. And then, and I'll never forget this, let me say this trend as well. I remember every single one of the clients that I interviewed and spoke to and, you know, got as much information as I could off, they all had physical companies. So that no one was online. Now, I'm 18 years of age. MySpace had just kind of come out. Well, not kind of. MySpace was out and was a really big deal. And they didn't know about that because they were older. But I was like, oh, there's anything I do, I want it to be online because that's where the trend's going. Online business is the trend. So that was numero uno number one. I was like, fuck these guys, they're all old school. They've got physical companies that they have to rock up to that carry so much risk. I want something online. And they were all like, that's revolutionary. So online. The second thing was the dating. I was like, okay, well, I'm young, there's nothing to do. So at 18 years of age, I Googled how to do a business plan. I wrote a really comprehensive, I think brilliant business plan. And Took it to the bank. I was earning at the time, you guys, on a full-time junior admin wage in 2006, $20,000. This is all Australian. And I took my business plan to the bank, and the bank manager gave me a loan of $10,000, which is fucking wild because in hindsight, this is why I'm like, banks are crazy, man. They gave an 18-year-old a loan that was 50% of her income. But anyway, I digress. I paid it back off, let me tell you. And I started my first business. And my first business was an online dating website, called Possibly Maybe. And it was for 18 to 30-year-olds to find love, to learn dating etiquette, and to network. It was actually just about networking as well. You could select networking. Now, this was not some shitty create DIY yourself website. I then hired web developers who were brilliant. It had login areas, like it was comprehensive. It cost me $10,000. So I'd known that, right? So I wrote my business plan. I needed $10,000 because I'd already gone to the web developers and they're like, look, this is not going to be cheap. This is back 16 years ago, remember? So $10,000 even then is probably like 15, 20 today. In business, like that, a website like that today, I don't even know what it would cost, a lot. So $10,000, and I started Possibly Maybe, and I had no fucking idea what I was doing. None. I just knew that I had done what they said. I found what I loved. I found what I was good at. I found what the market was needing, which was that. And what I want to say, I remember at the time though, so again, this is 16 years ago, saying to everybody, this is going to be a thing in the future. Online dating for young people is going to be a thing in the future. And I was laughed at and, you know, people thought I was crazy. I'll never forget sending out the website to like some friends and kind of close acquaintances at the time looking for support, you know, could you set a profile up and all that thing. And so many of them were like, is this a scam? I shit you not. Is this spam? Like, what is this? Anna, is this you? Like, they just couldn't comprehend it. Because it just was not a done thing. There was nothing out there at the time. There was Plenty of Fish. There was Match.com. There was obviously all these websites, but they were for your parents. They were for old people. And it was so funny. I'll never forget when Tinder launched and my mom was like, sweetheart, you fucking awkward. She didn't swear, but she said, you always said it. And I said, I fucking told you so. I swore. But yeah, so I launched Possibly Maybe, and my idea, just so you know, I wanted it to be free because I was like, I know young people don't want to pay. I knew that back then. But my idea was obviously to run ads on the website to generate income from like Google. That was my plan. Now, I was 18 years of age. I was studying full time. I ended up studying full time shortly after at university, working full time. And then I had this business that I had birthed at 18. Had no idea what I was doing. Went absolutely nowhere. It got hundreds and hundreds of profiles, but my passion just waned very quickly. And I will say that Possibly Maybe, it's offline now, has been for many years, was absolutely my apprenticeship to entrepreneurship. So I spent $10,000 at 20 years of age on a $20,000 income, high risk, earned $0. But my passion for business was lit on steroid fire. Like, I was just like, this is what I want to do. I want to do business. So that was kind of my foray into business. However, I had to do business plans, banks, speak with, you know, accountants, even then my accountants, obviously, liaise with web developers and look at trends, understand trends. In my case, that was something that I just innately felt very switched on about. I can't ever explain it. It's like I just see it from a bird's eye perspective. It's like, okay, I can see where, before the world knows, I'm like, oh, this is where it's going. And for me, it was online dating for young people. Fast forward, so I shut that down. I still had a career, like I was working there, obviously studying full time, et cetera, et cetera. And then got poached from that firm, as some of you guys know from my political podcast I've done, got poached from that accounting firm into politics. And then I was like, well, this is very lucrative. I'm having a shit ton of fun. I'm just going to play here for a little while. But my heart was always on business. And my boss knew that. So I started in politics in, oh, I can't remember, 2008, I think, 2009. And I was in there for 4 years. And I used to say to my boss all of the time, because he loved me, I loved him. It was a brilliant relationship, working relationship. I loved what I did. Minister, you know, he would always say, you know, other members would like to poach you. And he was always open to it. It was kind of like incestual in that way. Like if you'd worked your way up in your particular office and couldn't earn more or advance your career, you know, there'd be an agreement between offices. And so that was always on the table for me. I could have gone across to a minister's office. I could have gone to the Senate. And I always just said, no, I have absolutely no fucking interest. I love you, DJ. I'm not in politics to be in politics. I'm in politics because I'm just here and I'm loving it sick while I'm here. And I'm loyal to you. And I used to say, you're not going to have me long. You will not have me long because my heart lies in business. I'm going to have a business. I don't know when, I don't know what, but I'm going to figure it out and I'm going to go. And I remember fast forward to that 7 years later from starting my first business, possibly maybe, in politics at the time, very stressed out, blah, blah, blah. I've told the whole story on that. I then found network marketing, the dirty word. Still today, that profession's loudest and proudest ambassador. I think it's a brilliant profession. I think it's generous. I think it's genius. I think it's such a brilliant entry-level business to start for anybody because the risk is so fucking low because your risk is product. I've done multiple podcasts on that. Go back and listen. But now understanding a little bit more of my background and my passion and my again, just hunches on trends, there was just something in this. I was like, right, I'm balls to the wall with this. Like I fell madly, wholly, deeply in love with the product. It's the company's called Isagenix. I'm still on the products today, 9 years later. And I went balls to the wall. Like I was like, right, this is a business. I see so much vision in this. This is an uncapped earning potential in our company, not all companies are like that. And I went for it. I absolutely went for it. I was 25 years of age. And kind of for me, I know I don't look at it. It was my business 100%, the way that I showed up in it, the way that I built the onboarding, the systems I created myself, the brand I created, the Sisterhood Society around it. You know, the public speaking that I did, the stage, the awards I won, all it was a business. However, the company is Isagenix. They're the entrepreneurs. So ultimately, to me, network marketing, it was my business, but it wasn't my business, right? I wasn't in 100% control of the income, essentially. Yeah, so that was my second business and I went all in and I looked at it like it was a $1 million business. If I had invested my own money and, you know, like back in 2006 and put 10 grand down, that's the way that I looked at it. And I ran. I went balls to the wall, broke company records, earned a lot of money very fast, working my ass off. You know, I was the girl. This is the thing. The misconception for me in network marketing is that people get in, say, like, they're like, yeah, I sold sometimes absolutely a pipe dream, or, you know, get told it's easy. It's not, it's a business. You still have to work and then come in, faff around, do nothing, don't work, don't set, you know, don't show up to their business, fail and then blame network marketing. No, most of the time it's because you didn't do anything. Most of the time there are absolutely exceptions to the rule. There are companies to the rule, all the things, but for me, I went in, saw a trend. I was like, oh, this is new. Got absolutely bullied, vilified, and hated for my decision. And I thought, this is really something. Then I definitely am at, you know, the pioneer frontier of this. And I had my first $1 million in that cash in bank. So not sales, not whatever, by 30 years of age. So I had my first $1 million in that company. This is all Australian numbers. I'm not US, I'm Australian. So first $1 million AUD before the age of 30, so within 5 years. I've built that for 9 years now. I've stepped back from building. I'm still a happy product user. I still absolutely earn a phenomenal residual income from that. Power of building a network marketing company for 9 years or business for 9 years. And with that business, so as Anna Rose today, with that business, I've earned over $2 million in network marketing since 2013. So over the last 9 years, that's again Australian. So saw the trend, absolutely saw the trend, loved the company, loved the vision, went balls to the wall, second business, right? Then 2020 happened and I started to get itchy. I started to get, you know, my brand was growing far bigger than network marketing. It had for many, many years. I never, you know, hung my hat on network marketing. I hung my hat on myself. I looked at my own self as my own brand and smart thing to do in a big, big way. A lot of other companies within the profession had asked me to speak on their stages. So I had a lot of integrity. I have a lot of integrity, but it wasn't the hat that I didn't hang my hat on it. It was like, well, it's a source of income and still absolutely is today, but it's not just like anything, the source of income. I want more. I want to get different streams of income. I want different businesses. So then I started again, going back to what I knew at 18 years of age, I was hungry. I was bored, to be honest. Network marketing was easy for me. I was like, I'm bored. I need more. I need to sort of scratch that itch. I need to play bigger, to be honest. And this is the other thing. Women started to demand more of me. Women were banging down my inbox daily going, we don't necessarily want to build a network marketing business, but we want to work with you. Where's the other offerings? Where's the other offerings? And so 2020, I could no longer ignore that. And I went back to what I learned in 2006. And this was the catalyst. There was actually a brilliant psychologist who came to me. I'll tell you the truth. I was getting, you know, tens of messages a week from women going from different companies, from different professions, from different walks of life, all ages, saying to me, Anna, we don't care what it is, but we just want more of you. Like, but we can't buy from you because they didn't want network marketing. They're like, we don't have an interest in, you know, building a business. And that's basically the only offering that you have. And I was like, yeah, I've got to create something. I know I've got to create something because that I've got the passion for it. I'm ready to, I have the capacity for it and I'm getting demands for it. Right. So key ingredients for a new business. And then what happened was a brilliant psychologist came to me, landed in my DMs and basically said, name your price for coaching. Name it. I don't care what you charge. I want to pay. And I know you don't take on clients. So I'm asking you to just name a price because whatever it is, I'll pay it. Whatever parameters you want to put around it, I'm willing to. I just want to be coached by you to that extent. And I went, what the fuck am I doing? This is, and I said no to her. I said no. I was like, I respect you. I respect that. I thought about it. I did think about it. But at this point still in my life and back then, I was not passionate about one-on-one coaching. My passion and my enthusiasm and my skill and my just everything has always lied in impacting many, not impacting one-on-one. I just like that bigger impact essentially. So I said no, but that was the catalyst. That was the catalyst that I thought, what am I doing? This is silly. And again, I started to see this trend before most coaches, absolutely before most coaches. And today I get a lot of questions. I'm getting lots of questions from coaches in the way that I set this up, self-love school. But I sat down and I said, right, what do I love? What am I really fucking good at? What does the world need? And what are women asking me for? Because I only work with women, right? So I was like, what are women asking me for? And I was like, self-love. And I remember saying to this brilliant psychologist at the time, look, you don't need a coach. You don't need me as your coach. You just need to go love yourself. Love yourself. Eat like you love yourself. I think I said it to, you know, like I said all the things that became the modules. Just eat like you love yourself. Move like you love yourself. Speak like you love yourself. Think like you love yourself. Earn like you love yourself. Self-care like you love yourself. And you will love yourself. You don't need me to coach you that. Just go do it. And, you know, back and forth. No, I do, you know. And I sat down, had that thought, and I went, right, it's self-love. And I had no mentor at the time. I didn't have a coach at the time. I only recently, in 2021, got a mentor for 12 months. I've stopped that as well because I'm entering a new industry. It's just a whole thing. But I just was like, I'm going to plan it how I want to plan it. I don't need anyone to tell me what it looks like. I don't want a strategy. I don't need input. I'm going to do what I know. And I created from scratch on white A3 pieces of paper, Self-Love School. And I knew I wanted it to be online. I knew I wanted it to be self-paced, but live launch, you know, all of the things that I created it with. I went into lockdown. So when I start something, I go balls to the wall, balls deep, and I go lockdown. So I go all in, basically. So I turn my phone off. I remember I announced it on Instagram. My avid followers may remember this. I said, look, I'm going to be offline for a week. I'm in a deep, deep content creation cave, but at the end, I will finally be able to offer something to you. And it took 10 days in the end from thinking of it, so from concept idea to finished product. I shit you not. So all of the videos, all of the training, all of the workbooks I created, literally everything. But the website I then uploaded that. I had my developer, Matt, brilliant Matt. He doesn't do it anymore, sadly, so don't ask. And he put it all together. And off I went. I launched it December 2020. And in Self-Love Schools, I've had that for just over a year now. In Self-Love Schools' first year, it did $430,000 Australian. And the thing about that, and I'm very proud of that, and I'm, you know, and I have no qualms talking about money. I don't a lot online. I know a lot of coaches do now. I think it's awesome. I think whatever. I don't know. Some people are triggered by it. Some aren't. Some so what, right? It's just I love it. I think people are aligned or not, but for me, I've never minded talking about money. I'm always saying I'm an open book. So $430,000 in its first year. And the power of that though was I don't want to say without a lot of effort, but that's only with 5 live launches. So I only launched. So yes, it was a year that I earned that, but technically it wasn't even a year. It was 5 launches. So 5 times 8 weeks of work. So 5 carts open, enroll for a week, carts close. I kick off with the X amount of women for 8 weeks. And then we go again, right? So 5 times in that year and $430,000. Now, that's phenomenal. That is my soul's purpose, though. I cannot emphasize it, articulate it, and just give it enough energy to help. Like, that Self-Love School is my life's work. It is absolutely what I came here to do. Like, it's always going to be a part of me no matter where I go and no matter what I do now, including with the NFT. It's just this container of, I just think every woman in the world needs to do it. It's the basis 101 of self-love that I watch women change their entire lives from doing the course. But then what happened is that was only 14 months ago. And I've been in it. I've been in it. I've been building Self-Love School, not building Self-Love School, but live launching in Self-Love School, nurturing the beautiful community that I'm building that I'm so madly, wholly, deeply in love with, and just in it. I'm in Self-Love School. I've been doing the do. And now this cue, this new kind of, not new kind of, this new absolute passion and vision that I see with NFTs is amongst all of this. Several years ago, I also started as a woman independently, started to invest in stocks and in crypto. And I saw the trend in crypto. And I'm going to save all those stories for the specific NFT podcast that will come after this one. So I'll leave that there. But I have watched this space for 7 years. I've invested in this space for 7 years. I have loved this space for 7 years. And I have just known what's coming, watching. And then started to hear about these NFTs. And immediately something inside of me went ting, just like it did with Possibly Maybe, just like it did with network marketing, and just like it did with Self-Love School. And I'll always follow that ting. And I started to try to understand. I spoke to some people. I'm always like, that's what I always do. I'll go to people that are kind of in the know. I'll find those people. It's like, where do you find them? You look, you research, you go where they hang out. I was hearing, you know, Twitter was the place at the time for crypto and NFT. So I've had a Twitter account for 11 years, went there, just started to talk to people about it. And then when I got it, so when it landed for me, which was very quickly, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. It's art, kind of irrelevant, but not, but definitely is more so irrelevant today. But when I understood the technology, and you've probably, if you've heard me talk about NFTs, when I talk about NFTs on my Instagram now, you won't hear me say NFT without saying it's the technology, it's the technology. So you will have heard me say it. But when it dropped for me and I understood the technology behind it and how it's just the next iteration of the internet, like Facebook was, like we went from web one, so read only, to web two, to read, write, and, you know, communicate on company servers. So Facebook, Instagram, that's the iteration of the internet we're currently in. And now we're moving, we have moved, it's been around for years, into web three. And it's not going anywhere. It'd be like today, it would be like to say Facebook doesn't exist. You'd look like an idiot and you'd be crazy because it does. Same damn thing. So when I got that, and then when I understood smart contracts, and for me and my business brain and my entrepreneurial spirit and this gift to see trends, I was like, no, this is it for me, because I've spent 10 years building community. I've spent 10 years, longer than 10 years, but 10 plus years building businesses. I've earned millions in business. And this for me, now I was like, right, this is my easy opportunity, my phenomenal opportunity to give back to my community. If they can win from my business brain and my business community and my business passion and my business brain, it is a no fucking brainer to me. And so the commitment, the all in, the balls to the wall, the vision, all of the things began. And so many incredible humans have reached out, you know, that understand this space, just saying, you know, Anna, well done. It's so risky. You know, you're pioneering. Like, no one's really doing it. I think, actually, I read a statistic today. I do want to read it to you. In the world at the moment, so in 2021, in the entire world, there are only 280,000 people that owned NFTs. Now, in 2022, obviously the year we're currently in, 360,000 people own NFTs. But there's been something like $22 billion in the last year traded on NFTs. And so for me, like I said, it's just this next stepping stone. It's like it was in 2006, 2013 and 2020. I looked at it. What were people asking me for? Advice. Anna, where do I begin? How do I get started? Anna, I'm scared. Anna, you know, I want to earn my own money. Anna, I want more. Anna, you know, the world's a bit fucked. How do I kind of safeguard myself? All of those questions to me is just making sure that I can help women put some more money back in their pocket. Now, the way I'm doing it has not been done yet. I've got lots of people out there scouring NFTs at the moment, and I've been sent some, and they're like, it's not even close. And it's not about the utility for me with this NFT. Yes, you're going to get a course membership and it's going to be amazing, and that's the more than the value of the NFT itself. So you get something immediately upon purchasing the NFT in real world value. So not just the art, which itself will be phenomenal and world class, but you will get a login to another new whole course, like the new evolution of me, all everything I know, part self-love school, part destiny, part spirit, part wellness, part everything, part financial security. All of my everything will be in that logging course area, and you can only access it with an NFT that you will own from my collection. That's part of it, sure, but that's not the main part of it. The biggest part of it for me, and where this part hasn't been done in the world, is starting a bigger brand connected to it. It's different. It's actually separate to the NFT, but I can use the technology in the NFT to pay you. And that's what excites. I'm hot right now. I'm watching myself in Zoom. Like, I'm burning up. It excites me so much. So it's a completely separate company. I'm building like the empire the brand out, and I'll share the name when I do the next podcast, but building that brand out in merchandising, and anyone can buy that, you know, anyone will be able to get that merchandising. And again, I'm already asked for that. Anna, you know, I want your people. This is the thing. This was the other thing. People started to take my sayings, you know, it's a beautiful day to have a beautiful day, move like you love yourself. And they're already creating merchandise with it. So I was sent this gorgeous like drink bottle the other day, and it was me. So it was me and Zeus on this drink bottle as a cartoon. And it said on it, it's a beautiful day to have a beautiful day. And she's selling them. And it's gorgeous. And she's like, they're amazing. And I'm like, they are amazing, but I should be doing that and helping and putting money back into my whole community's pocket. So again, see this, what is the market doing? What is being asked of you? Well, for me, people are already creating merchandise with my name and likeness and sayings, but they're pocketing the money. I'm taking all of that back to create merchandise as a whole huge brand, and then the NFT holders will get 50% of the profit. And the ease of that is just so brilliant for me, and why I was so attracted to it, because I can't do that. I could, but it would take work, effort, bank details, one-on-one transactions. With the NFT, it's just a smart contract. So yeah, anyway, I won't get into the semantics, but it's exciting. So this is where now as a business, the NFT for me is a company. It's a business. It's not just, oh, she's got an NFT. It's, oh, she's building an entire company and empire around it to benefit her community. And the value of that NFT for you, my goal and wish and hope and vision and work that I will put into this. And I gave my numbers before as well, 2 million in network marketing, 430,000 in my first year, to help you understand. I've done that by myself, solo, with some grit, some passion, some enthusiasm, showing up authentically, having some fun. I laugh because I just think I'm the biggest dork with a lisp that, you know, can have a podcast and still have success. So it's just funny that I have done all that by myself, and now I'm calling in this big team, which is such a huge risk because it's a lot of outgoings as well. But I'm like, imagine what I'm going to create with that. But imagine the profits that are going back to you. Now, you can only get that profit when you earn the NFT. So the vision that I have for this is so huge. Again, no one in the world has done it. Correct me if I'm wrong. Prove me wrong. No one's been able to yet with that specific utility that I'm attaching to it. And it's exciting. As soon as I understood smart contracts, I was like, I'm in, because this is going to be the future. I believe when you buy a house, it's going to be connected to an NFT smart contract. When you buy concert tickets, it's going to be an NFT smart contract. Like the world, I believe that, you know, there's proof of purchase NFTs, right? So concert tickets, you know, doctors, all things. I think when people hire, they're going to be looking at your NFT portfolio. Don't get scared. It's like, it's not scary. It's just the way the world's going. So I am so excited. I'm terrified, I suppose. I think I'm less scared now. I think because I'm so in it and I'm doing it and I'm just taking so much inspired action that the terror has worn off, to be honest. I've spent sort of the main chunk of what I had to, like, invested so much money. It's done now. So I'm like, oh, okay, it's done. But yeah, that is my business journey. So when this all kicks off, and I share on the next episode more so my crypto journey and then the whole NFT story, and start to educate on it. What is an NFT specifically, and why should you invest if you want to invest, and what's a blockchain and where's it headed, and what is Web 1 and what is Web 3? And I'll start to do individual specific podcasts. I'm going to bring brilliant minds on. I'm going to bring incredible women on to interview who have already created kick-ass collections and are benefiting their community in different ways, you know, changing lives in different ways themselves. So there's going to be so much to come, but I just wanted to solidify myself, I suppose, as a business leader and a woman in business to say, you know what, girls, like, you know what, ladies, you know what, haters, you know what, troll, whoever comes at me, it's like, I've been in business a long fucking time. I was 18, 16 years ago when I first began. I've seen most trends. I've picked, and the other thing is I've picked most industries that have come under the most attack. So I'm like, And I know that NFTs will and are as well. So I'm like, it's just meant to be. It's my destiny. But it's so exciting. So I just wanted you to know that I'm not playing around, basically. I know what I'm doing. I've always, since 18 years of age, I've always known what I'm doing. I trust myself so much. I back myself so much. And to choose this space, to enter this space, to swap industries, to go after this vision and goal that I have, it's so fucking ginormous. But A, it's going to be worth it. And B, I know exactly what I'm doing. So if you got to the end of this episode, it was a long one. So I just honor you. I love you. I hope that you got something from it as well. And if nothing else, most of my podcasts, as you guys know, it's just this conversation. I just show up and have a chat. It's very authentic. There's no notes. I got no idea, you know, where it's exactly going to go, but there are lessons in it. And even if that is just to do the damn thing yourself, to show up vulnerably and unapologetically and just trust yourself and back yourself, then that is the greatest lesson in life that you will ever only need anyway. So I will leave it there. Next episode, we will be starting the conversation specifically about NFTs, but I hope you enjoy being taken back through the journey of my business entrepreneurial journey, and I will chat to you soon.
Thanks so much for tuning in. And as always, I truly hope you got something out of this episode that you can use to challenge your own status quo. If you liked what you heard, it would mean so much to me if you shared this episode on your socials to help get this podcast more out in the world. Don't forget either to tag me personally at @AnnaRose_Richards so I can thank you personally. If you're also loving the conversations, leaving a review on iTunes by going to the podcast, scrolling down and clicking leave review will help even more amazing humans that need to find me, find me. As always, I am eternally grateful that you're tuning in. And until the next episode, know that I am always cheering on your sovereignty and success.